This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, now in our sixth season looking into the exciting happenings of Ipswich Town Football Club. And while all eyes are on a big golf tournament in America, I'm joined by two masters of the Blue Monday podcast. It's the diamond in the rough, David Diamond, and the man who won't be drawn into golf chat, it's Craig Finbo. How are you both?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Mikey. Yeah, pretty good.
Have you been called diamond in the rough before?
Quite a lot. Yeah. Usually by my golf partners, usually. Yeah, quite a lot. Yeah, not unusual.
And Craig, got any good golf anecdotes for us?
I actually went to a crazy golf during the summer with the kids. Where was that? Cambridge, I think it was. No, Norwich. Oh. It was on the outskirts of Norwich, it was. Yeah, we were up that neck of the woods doing some camping. And so that's you know, last time I held a club in my hands was literally 2 or 3 months ago, mate. So I'm all over this.
Craig's a cricket aficionado, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much of that happening at the moment, unfortunately.
No, not at all. The IPL just finished, of course.
Yeah. Archer was MVP, wasn't he?
But didn't yeah, he? Very much so. Crikey, yeah, he was brilliant. Stormed it, didn't he? And with the bat, to be fair to him, he was teeing off every time he got in. But with the ball, he's just phenomenal in that cricket.
Yeah, lovely stuff. This is, of course, a football podcast. But I will just ask Dave about the Masters Golf. Have you got any bets coming in today that we're recording this before the leaders in the last round?
Oh, God, I've got Casey and Cantlay. And Casey had a really good first round. Like, he was 7-under after, and then didn't build on it round two. And then yesterday, him and Cantlay both bogeyed the final two holes. So if they had any chance of finishing anywhere, that's probably gone with that. So, yeah, me and my sons, they both had bets. So I think we had like 8 golfers between us. Each of them made the cut comfortably, and I'm not sure any of them are going to make the top 10. It's incredible. I mean, Johnson's away, and it's just really bunched now, isn't it?
Mm. It has been, without the football, it's been an entertaining watch, something to enjoy, as was, of course, the Blue Monday special with Jason Dizell, Craig. Would you like to give that a quick plug? Still pretty fresh.
Yeah, of course, yeah. We recorded it. Well, a couple of weeks. Well, it's the weekend before the Sunderland match, as it goes. So I was bigging up Andre and chatting to Jason about the fact he hadn't missed a minute of league football, and then he goes and gets sent off 2 or 3 days later. But it was good. It's sort of just to get out of my system, really. I've been beating the drum for the poor old guys from that season for a while now, and managed to wangle it. I got Jason's details through a couple of friends, and I pinged him on WhatsApp, and literally within 30 seconds, he replied straight away saying, yes, would love to do it. And, you know, once we'd got the logistics and the timing sorted out, it was fine. It was quite interesting, actually, that towards the end of it, he himself was like a bit, you know, saying, well, he feels himself that he gets forgotten about, you know, in the light of what happened 8 years later sort of thing, which is understandable. You know, there was the build-up of the playoffs and missing out and missing out and missing out, and that pressure cooker release of the one match that did it all. But so I think, you know, from his perspective, and probably other guys, they're not as vocal or as visible, I don't think, are they, on social media and bits and pieces. That probably goes towards it as well. But yeah, no, it was a good chat, and so hopefully people can find it and have got a spare hour or so, they'll enjoy either watching it or listening to it.
No, it was really good. It was really good. And he sort of thought that, I think I've mentioned it before in the pod about that season, that it just came out of nowhere, absolutely nowhere. Just that, right. You know, and he said, didn't he, you know, about relationships, combinations that Harry from Bath used to talk a lot about all over the pitch. And they certainly had him in, that year, everything just gelled, and probably no real kick injuries or long-term injuries. Funny that, 20 key players. And incredibly, they just, in the end, they saw it through. I mean, obviously it had to be Ipswich and a couple of sort of narrow squeaks near the end, but they saw it out comfortably, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as you say, you know, there were no superstars in the team. You know, they all just did a job. You know, they had their job and they did it. And as you say, Dave, there's not that many injuries at all. You know, a couple missed a few matches here or there, sporadically dotted around, but long-term injuries to key players.
No, it's good. It was really good. He came across, I thought he came across really well, actually, if you could sort of avoid the seasickness.
Yeah, well, what did come through loud and clear was the fact that he's a Town fan, first and foremost. Yeah. You know, Christ, he would have talked about Ipswich as a fan, right? Yeah. You know, rather than talking about him as a player, you know, the fact he was going to matches in the 70s, went to the final, FA Cup final. Used to go, he still goes to matches now, away matches and bits and pieces. So, you know, that came through, that shone through loud and clear, that did.
That was good.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, really enjoyed that one personally. Definitely one of our greatest ever seasons, that one. And we'll move from that wonderful season to the season that we're currently in. And the results were pretty favourable for us this weekend. There was a few games. How many was there? 6 games on Saturday. And there's going to be another one Monday night between Plymouth and Portsmouth. That one's quite often billed as being a bit of a derby, but it's not.
Naval derby. Yeah.
So I'll quickly run through those results. Shrewsbury drew 3-3 with Swindon. Swindon are they've got a new manager. Name escapes me off the top of my head. It might be John Sheridan.
He was certainly in the room with
the Dodgers.
Certainly seems interesting supporting Swindon this year. There seem to be a lot of goals in their games. It'd be interesting how they get on without Richie Wellens. Sunderland lost 2-1 at home to Milton Keynes. They were on the receiving end of a bad penalty decision, Craig. You've got a feel for them, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Shame it wasn't, you know, swings and roundabouts. It seemed that Milton Keynes benefited from our bad luck. You know, if things even themselves out, well, they did for Milton Keynes on our behalf, I think.
Indeed.
No sympathy, though. Their fans were going mental on Twitter, but there you go.
I mean, really not very good, are they? I thought they were poor. They were there for the taking, and we all know what happened when we played them. They were absolutely there for that. I thought they were a poor side, really poor. Yeah.
And Milton Keynes, on the other hand, they were bottom of the league when we drew at their place earlier on the season.
They were half decent,
really? And they've really kicked on since then.
Really were.
They were tidy enough, and they just didn't have much up front, did they? But I think they've rectified that, and also, you know, you'll talk about it in a second, but Crewe as well.
From what I remember from MK game, they played great.
Crewe won 2-0 against Peterborough. Imagine that was a pretty watchable game, don't you think? At Crewe as well.
Yeah, judging by the performance Crewe put on down here, absolutely, yeah. Still a bit bit surprised that Peterborough, not maybe lost, but didn't score, misfired in that game, for goodness sake. I didn't see who played and who didn't play, whether Clark Harris, Johnson Ham, you know, played or Dembele played. I didn't notice, but yeah, that was a great win, yeah.
Elsewhere, Bristol Rovers won Fleetwood 4. They seem to be picking up now. Northampton 0, Accrington Stanley 1. Hull, who we're playing in a couple of weeks, won 2-0 at home to Burton. I realised yesterday that Hull have, obviously I knew that they had Josh Emmanuel playing right back, but they've got Callum Elder playing left back. He was briefly on loan with us in our stinky relegation season. and that wraps it up. So we're now in third place, and those results led to our goalkeeping coach, Jimmy Walker, who's quite outspoken on Twitter, saying this: "Some good results for us today. Massive few weeks ahead. League One is bonkers and, dare I say it, very average. If we don't finish top four minimum, we might as well wrap up. Now, I think we're all nodding along in agreement with what he's saying, and he's not wrong. But Joe Fares asks, what are your thoughts on Jimmy Walker's tweets last night? Do they reflect badly on the management with regards to how the league is viewed? And ultimately, do you agree with this sentiment? I'll start with you, Craig.
Well, I don't think he's towing the company line, is he? No. Those comments, they seem to be going slightly contradictory to what Paul Lambert's churning out post-match every game. He's just piling pressure on themselves, isn't he? As a coaching unit. You know, yes, it probably is an average team. You take away a sort of average league, take away the top clump of teams who are sort of pulling away, and the rest of it is pretty average. But by that token, then yes, we should be top four minimum, and you know, let's see. Proof is in the pudding, I suppose, in terms of whether they can, turn it around, but get up there towards the top of the league. As I say, it's contrary to what we're being told post match by the manager. Whether Jimmy'd been enjoying himself on a weekend off and decided to take the social media, who knows? But I'd be interested to see how it's viewed in the change rooms or in the manager's office on tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it, Dave? Because the fans seem to really like reading that on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when Joe tweeted that question, a few people responded as well to say it's nice to finally hear some truth coming out of the club. But do you think that's maybe a touch unprofessional or do you think he's got every right?
Probably is a little bit, but I think he's nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. It's a very average league, and if you look at if you look at what we all think and probably know the strength of our squad, we know how good it potentially is. We should be. You know, I think any failure to top two is a bit harsh, but I think any failure not to sort of top four, and it is a failure, absolute massive failure. This league is huge, massively average. I haven't really seen them. Well, funny enough, Crew probably. I thought they were outstanding, but I haven't seen anything. And you know, even Portsmouth. I mean, if that was Portsmouth's first team, you know, first choice 11 that they put out in the cup game last week, where again, you know, very very. Okay, at time for early doors first half, a couple of mistakes, and they're all over us. But you know, other than that, very, very, yeah, very average, really. Yeah, we should be. I'm pleased he's come out and said it because the pressure should be on. The pressure should be on those players to perform. Absolutely.
I'd be interested to see it. Just that is actually a window into the thinking of the club as in general. You know, he's not going to be speaking out of turn, I wouldn't have thought, in terms of what's happening and what's being said behind the scenes. You know, we may be getting told something else. Just you know, the normal boring answers that get churned out after every match, but it's probably interesting to see that is the way that they're thinking, and if it is, then good. I'm glad that's the way they're thinking.
I guess it was quite refreshing to hear as well, as you've already touched upon that, Craig, because it's so different to what we've been hearing elsewhere, and Jimmy Walker is kind of somewhere in between the players and the management, isn't he? So you maybe get the most honest assessment from a half-cut goalkeeper coach on Twitter.
Allegedly.
Allegedly half-cut. It was a Saturday evening. I think there's certainly no judging here. This is a mailbag edition, but before we get on to those questions, I'll just go through the rest of the news from this week. And on Tuesday night, we exited the Papa John's Trophy, a young town team losing 2-0 there. And this is a bit of a shame for the younger players, isn't it, Dave? But potentially a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't watch Tuesday. Yeah, I think good experience for the younger players, but from what I understand, I listened to a tiny bit of it, but from what I understand, just they were perhaps a bit more physical. I think we played some nice football, but again, from what I understand, in our own half again, which seems to be a running theme right through the club these days. So a bit of frustration there, but I didn't see the first goal. I saw the second goal. He took it really well. I think someone on our WhatsApp said, well, maybe the keeper's at fault there, but I thought he'd absolutely mega finish when it flashed it in the far corner. But no, you know, for all those players, just, yeah, can't hurt. Good experience. Just a shame we didn't get through and then have, another game at some point. And I know before anyone says, yeah, but it's another game and we don't need it. It's a Mickey Mouse trophy, but, you know, good competitive game for those kids, really.
Yeah, Craig, you did watch it. And I think it might have even been you that suggested that the keeper might have saved that second goal. Where do you stand on it all? Are you maybe a little bit disappointed that there's going to be less opportunities now for the youngsters to make a claim for a place in the team, isn't there?
Yeah, I think, you know, had we got through, we'd have used it the next round in exactly the same manner. We wouldn't have been putting any first team players anywhere close to the starting 11 unless they were coming back from injury. If Kane Vincent Young suddenly appears from nowhere and needs 45 minutes or something like that, then so be it. But it was just a tidy enough performance, but it was pretty powder puff in terms of, yeah, as Dave said, anything other than our half, really. We just didn't make any real inroads into their, you know, into their defence. And Bennett's played and sort of didn't really do much. I think the issue he had is that he was getting on the ball so fleetingly. He was trying to do a lot with it every time he did get the ball, you know, and therefore trying too hard and it failing and it, you know, not coming off. So he didn't really stand out much. It was Virel, the French kid, played nice and tidily, although I don't think that was his normal position, just in front of the back four. And Darba did okay. It was just pretty sterile match, to be fair.
Didn't the lad Zach Brown come on as sub? I've seen him play a couple of times. I don't really go, I'm not, you know, as much as Joe used to, you know, going up pretty much watch them all the time. But when I have been up and seen like the 18s and stuff like that, he's just stood. He's got pace to burn. He's quite aggressive. Not the biggest lad, but absolute quick and pacey. And I did hear a little bit at the end of the game when he came on, and they actually said that, I think Marcus Stewart said that, yeah, he'd certainly livened things up.
Yeah, he came on and played on the right of the front quick. Three. And then, yeah, just he was a lot more direct than the guys that had been there previous. Yeah.
There was another game in the week that was quite interesting that might have caught the eye. That was Scotland drawing against Serbia and then qualifying for the Euros via a penalty shootout. I believe Paul Lambert was a pundit or on COCOM somewhere along the line.
He was on breakfast TV the next morning. I can't believe it.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm on the BBC. And Paul Lambert.
It's good to know that he's over his media fatigue, though, isn't it? And he had a few things to say about his job that he's done overall at Ipswich so far. And I'll just read through the quotes, and then we've got a couple of Twitter questions on this subject. So Paul Lambert said, "I think the club's in a lot better place than it was when we came into it, that's for sure." Then he said, "I think the football we're playing is really good, and if the club sticks to that philosophy going forward, then it will be in a really healthy place. You can't judge everything by short-term markers because it will take a number of years to get things how we want it. We can't buy players, and we need to nurture what we have and look at free transfers. It's not ideal, and of course we want to be in a higher league, but the football we're playing is good." Interesting that he didn't say really, really good. "We didn't want to get relegated, even if we came in at a difficult time with everything up in the air. The club had lost a lot of very good players and was building a new team that needed time to gel and adjust to the size of the club. I'm happy with how it's going." So we have a couple of questions on this. Ipswich, Reggio, do you believe the club is in a better place than when he took over? He agrees with some of it, but is the club in a best place being in a lower division? Are the finances improving? Are fans happier? Is the future brighter? So I'll throw those ones in your direction, Craig. Dave, you can have a think about this one from Daniel McKenzie. He asks for our thoughts on it. Is he overstepping his remit, talking about things behind the scenes? Surely this points to fundamental mismanagement by Evans, poor scouting, sports science and a flat management structure. So, yeah, first of all, Craig, are the fans happier? And is the future brighter? And is the club in a better place?
It's in a different league to what it was when he took over. We were only 5 points clear of safety when he took over. I like the faces. Was it you can't judge everything by short term markers, like results, for example? I presume he's referring to. Yeah. You know, we don't know. You know, we only get snippets from people who may have been, you know, gone behind the scenes at training ground and in the changing rooms and things that have had to be put in place, ripped out and started again from that perspective. You know, from an infrastructure perspective and a setup perspective. we don't get to see that. You know, we can't comment. Very few people get a chance to go behind the scenes. So I think he's probably referring to more to the structure and the building blocks rather than the bit that we see, the top of the iceberg, if you like. You know, it's the bit underneath the water that we're not seeing. I'm not entirely sure that it's true. He's probably over-egging the pudding a little bit, because, you know, at the end of the day, as football fans, you're really just only interested in the results and the league position and performances, aren't you? Performances are tailing off, getting a bit more tepid. Results remains to be seen, you know, whether we take these recent cup results into the mix because of the changes in team setup. You know, I think we can only really judge it on league position, on league results. So let's see what you're saying in 4 weeks' time.
If indeed he is still at the club. So Dave, yeah, my question to you was the Daniel McKenzie question. Is he overstepping his remit talking about these things behind the scenes?
No, I don't think so. I mean, getting back, I think to dwell a bit on the first question, really, I think looking at the fixtures, probably the next 2 weeks, even, you know, before the end of November, could have a big factor with the two Charlton at Hull at home. Is he overstepping his remit? No. You know, I think he's frustrated. Obviously, there is frustration there. The finances clearly aren't there. But there are signs, you know, when he... the club was, and I hate that word, but the club was like toxic, wasn't it, when he came in? And we all said, you know, he made a great strides to, you know, embrace the sort of history of the club at first and perhaps get the fan base on side, which largely he's been successful in doing, obviously in a different, as Craig said, obviously in a different division now. But I think with that comes the expectation that we need to, you know, we don't belong in this division. We shouldn't be in this division, you know.
So, yeah, another Lambert question here for you, Craig. What are your views on Lambert constantly telling the media we've been outstanding? And is he happy? Are you happy with the direction things are going since he's been at the club?
I think we can only assume that what's being said publicly isn't the same as what's being said behind closed doors, is it? You know, it's there just as a... You know, managers say stuff, and I don't think we should read too much into it in terms of going into the minutiae and pulling it to pieces, because they'll come out and just say stuff to answer a mundane question with a mundane answer. Yeah, we've been brilliant. Well, anyone, you know, plain as a nose on your face that you haven't been. Mick McCarthy did the same thing, didn't he? You know, you'd watch a dog of a performance and he'd come out and say that we played perfectly well and it was
fabulous.
Respectable result, etc. Well, we know it's not, but it's just, just a token answer to a run of the mill question. I don't think we should read too much into it. I say all we can hope is that behind the scenes, the Jimmy Walker view of things is the real view of things within the club and within the changing room, rather than getting told.
It's reaching a balance, isn't it? Because look what happened with the last manager, Hurst. I mean, okay, yeah, he lasted 5 minutes, but he started digging players out. Well, you can't. That is overstepping the mark. You can't do that. You need to find a balance. So, and, you know, on the one hand, as far as the media and fans are concerned, yeah, he's been loyal to his players, which, yeah, manager should be. But you're quite right. Behind the scenes, might be no doubt a completely different story.
And I'd imagine after the EFL trophy, then, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, he's got a team full of kids that are playing there. So he's not going to be saying, you know, we were poor. We didn't get the ball forward quickly enough. You know, we didn't create any chances. He's going to big them up, because that's...
And as you said, if that's the club's philosophy, the way they went to play football, then yeah, it was a carbon copy performance, wasn't it? Neat and tidy football, but perhaps not in the right areas of the pitch again. But
yeah, that brings me nicely on to Mark's question, Dave. Is Lambert telling the players to pass back and forth across the goalkeeper and defence for hours? He says it's the most boring, unthreatening football he's ever seen watching Town. Awful to watch. Lots of possession, then a ball up to nowhere, lose it and get hit on the counter.
I go back to what I said. I think, I don't know if you guys were on the pod when I said it, maybe a couple of weeks ago. I made the mistake of watching it was quite good. I watched the first half of the Lincoln game with the home commentary and they were laughing at it. They were just absolutely laughing at it. And they said, well, what is this? Is just, and I don't know who the commentator was. I don't even know who the summary, obviously an ex-pro. And he said, well, this is just a joke. At this level, he said, this is just a joke, because there's just no point to it. And it's right, because there were two or three phases of play that first half where we'd get the ball and we'd go from, I think it was Wilson and Enciala, was it? Wilson, Enciala, fullbacks, back in. Ball never touched, obviously Dizel, ball never touched our front players. And then it ended with a ball being passed back and either Enciala or Aholi just going, booting long and losing possession anyway. So, I guess if there was a, if only there was sort of promotion spot up for possession, I think we'd probably be romping it, wouldn't we?
It's very, very similar to the way when McCarthy used to try and play a slightly shorter, but in a passing style. We'd do exactly that, wouldn't we? We'd get the ball and basically we'd just regress further and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And we just get squished in. And then one of the, whether Bearer or Chambers, we'd end up with them just to loop.
I mean, I suppose inevitably.
And I'd say that perhaps football was more unwatchable, but obviously against much better opposition, wasn't it? And I guess that's much that's disappointing people so much.
Quite right, much better opposition, and also for the majority of that, you had much better quality of front player as well. You know, we'll go to a couple of seasons of Murphy and when he was fit, McGoldrick, a much better quality of player there. But you don't underestimate the gap between. I'm sorry, the gap between League One and the Championship is massive.
Do we think it can't be the plan though, can it, to pass it about at the back and then play it long? It's just that the opposition has switched onto it and then they don't know what to do.
No, it's not when they're closed down.
So the answer kind of is, we're all disappointed. We're not enjoying watching it, but we don't think that they're being told to just pass it about at the back aimlessly.
No, I think they're being told to keep possession.
Yeah, and I just think, from my perspective, is it shows you how important Dizel and Bishop are in that midfield, because when Bishop, when he gets the ball, he's not looking to go backwards. If he can go forward with the ball, he will go forward with the ball. And similarly, Dizel, if he can pass it forward, he will pass it forward. Whereas I'm not entirely sure John Nolan, for example, if the forward ball's there, he won't necessarily pass it. He's already thinking about passing it backwards and keeping possession. Whereas at least the other two younger kids will actually, their first thought is a forward pass or a forward run. And if it's not there, then so be it. But I'm not convinced that the other member of that midfield three, whoever it happens to be, Hughes, Judge, Nolan, they're not wired the same way currently.
No, I honestly think that the key, if we are going to continue to play like that, the key to our season could well be a fit and firing Flynn Downs. I really do.
Is there any timescale on Flynn Downs? Do we have any idea when he might be back?
So was it 3 months I was speaking about initially?
Okay, and that must have been 2 months ago.
Yeah, I don't know. He's a young lad, isn't he?
Yeah, I think him, to be fair, you know, a Dizel, Bishop, Downs, central midfield three pretty much covers, ticks every box, doesn't it? Covers all of it. It covers you completely. Those three between them,
That's just head and shoulders. I'm sorry, that's head and shoulders the best. If we can field for the majority of the rest of the seasons in the coming weeks, not, you know, say we get into December or maybe even the new year and he's fit, and we can play a midfield three like that, I'm sorry. If we underachieve playing a midfield three like that, then something's seriously wrong.
Might as well wrap up.
Yeah. Because that is, to me, is head and shoulders above anything else in that division. My God.
But you don't see any of that midfield three actively looking to be passive with the ball, do you? They would all actually
drive.
Yeah, exactly. Driving forward.
Bishop would be. No, you're right. And you made a really good point in that Dizel interview, which was quite good, Craig, where you said that, you know, it was a good point you made when you said you always feel comfortable when Dizel's in possession that he's going to play. One, he's going to usually play it forward, and two, he's going to play the right pass.
And that's what Jason Dizel was like as well, wasn't it? I only got to see him play in his second spell, but he loved that little flick forward to the centre forward or the wide player, didn't he? It was quite often 20 yard pass.
Again, that helped though. If you've got forward in the calibre of Kawamia for those couple of seasons, it's just almost telepathic, wasn't it?
We don't have Chris Kawamia, but we do have James Norwood. And there's a question from FBL Tractor on James Norwood. Did the 30 minutes of James Norwood before he got injured/cramped/knackered versus Pompey show us what we can be with him in the side? He's more mobile and a goal threat than Hawkins, whilst being happy up front on his own.
Yeah,
I know, he's had his problems, and there's rumours going around that he might be injured again, but would you agree that, Dave, that he is probably our best striking option?
Yeah, I think he showed enough because he's got that mobility, but more importantly, he's got an eye for goal, isn't he? I think Hawkins has done pretty well considering he's been thrown in there, but he's got a goal. You know, he's got a goal, but no, I think you saw what it could possibly look like when Norwood had that half hour little cameo as such last weekend, and I've heard that rumour as well that it might be we might not perhaps see him next game potentially.
Thing is, with Hawkins and Norwood, when Hawkins is playing, the onus is on everyone else to score the goals, isn't it? It's on Edwards and whoever else is playing wide to score the goals, or Bishop to get forward. At least when Norwood's playing, the onus moves more onto him, or the focus moves more onto him, and he's more capable of carrying that burden as well, isn't he?
Aaron Pembish asks Craig. Well, he says, first of all, thanks as always for the pod team. You're very welcome. We enjoy doing them. He says, with the large squad we're still carrying, hopefully coming useful now, how would you like rest/rotation to be managed in the coming months? And how do you think it will be managed, Craig?
We have got a big squad, but let's see how many of them are actually available.
He's kind of making that point, isn't he? That it's a good job that we do have it because we're getting so many bloody injuries.
I think you need to keep the key players of the season so far, whether it be the spine of the team, because we've sort of shown that the centre halves are sort of exchangeable. The two that started did a fair job. The two that have replaced them have done a fair job. So I wouldn't have many qualms about chopping and changing those if there's at least maybe one ball player between the two of them. I'd always have Dizel playing, because I say, as above, as we were just talking about him, and I'd always have him and Bishop as much as you can. They've just got to play just to keep us that momentum up the pitch, because we look so pedestrian and passive with the ball.
Maybe try and rest Bishop every now and again if he's playing three games in a week. Maybe make sure that he's not playing more than one the following week.
Yeah, you've got to be sensible with him, obviously. I don't know how sophisticated our sports science is, going about Arsene Wenger's red zone, for example. I'd imagine most of our players are pretty much in that all the time.
I think it's a sponge and a bucket, isn't it?
Bit of Rougeck spray.
Never did Russell Osman any harm, though, did it, Dave?
Get that deep heat on you. You'll be all right.
Tiger balm or something, yeah.
Yeah, Fisherman's Friend. Oh, that was the worst.
Edwards has played well, hasn't he? Edwards may arguably been our man of the season so far in terms of performances, goals, assists. But then again, we're talking about the front players. We're now getting back to having, if Jackson's now around, you've got Hawkins around, Norwood up in the air about whether he'd be available or not. But that area of the pitch is you're starting to get your players back again. So, I think if you could keep Bishop, Dizel, Edwards in the team, Ward as much as you can, probably at left back, and then a more regular centre forward, I think you'll be okay, and then the rest can drop in and out as and when required. The non-performing third central midfielder can switch between Hughes and Nolan and Judge.
Absolutely. I like the way you've wrapped that up. We will be reviewing and marking each player out of 10 for their performances so far after these questions. There was a Twitter poll on Blue Monday about what people would like from this show, and it was pretty close between a mailbag and then player reviews. So we've kind of done both. Adam Flatt asks, Dave, do serious questions about Lambert's future need to be asked if we fail to beat at least one of Hull and Charlton? So this is going back to our struggles against the teams around us from last season.
Well, yeah, it will just be hanging there if we don't win one of those. I mean, that has to change. If we've got any aspirations at all, I think we have to win one of those games. We need to start beating these teams around us. So, out of those two, I'm just looking at the fixtures there. You'd probably get that monkey off your back, even if you beat Shrewsbury, because it's three home games. Well, okay, does it matter? But three games at home. Even if you beat Shrewsbury and then just take a win against Hull and Charlton and maybe lose one of those, I'll take that just to get that, yeah, that sort of weight off, really, because it is a factor. And if we don't, we're just, it's going to peter out like last season, really.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm refusing to get excited about this season
until,
regardless of where we are, until we beat somebody decent.
Yeah.
If they could beat Hull, it would be such a not momentous result, no, but it would just
it would feel momentous, though, wouldn't it?
It would do, though, wouldn't it? In the whole scheme of things, woo-hoo, just to beat a team that's, you know, above us in the league would be
remarkable. You're right. And looking at the form, I mean, I don't know how won yesterday, but I mean, Charlton, well, they lost in the cup, I think, but they're on a streak, aren't they? About five or six on the spin. So, well, that's the third game in the trilogy, isn't it? So, yeah, arousing. I mean, again, this is a shame. Look, three home games in a week. You know, those Hull and Charlton game teams around you normally, you know, be half decent crowd, all right, even if we didn't perform as we don't usually against these teams. But yeah, that's when I think you'll start to miss these big games, really.
And just going back to the original question about the pressure being on Lambert, the issue he has is he has no credit in the bank, does he? He's got zero credit in the bank. So
yeah, Simo has asked Craig, will Evans be sharpening the axe anytime soon? He asked about the style of football, which we've already talked about.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
I don't think you will he?
No. For as long as we're in with a shout of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably going nowhere, is he?
He's not going to want to pay him off for 4 years, is he? Or whatever is left. Of course he's not. No. While we're in amongst it, then no, it'll be fine.
Okay. And just to wrap up these questions, Mark Beck of the Unrestricted Pod has asked a golf-related question, Dave, kind of. He says, I hope you enjoyed not having to worry too much about Town this weekend. With the Masters being on, can you rate the difficulty of Town's opening 11 games with a par score? And whether it's an eagle, double bogey, or somewhere in between in terms of our results. So while you have a quick think about that, Dave, I little think about this. And if a golf tournament lasts for 4 rounds, and I would say that first round, we're about 1 under par, but we've played the chip and putt at Stolen Barnes so far. And we've had a couple of bogeys,
very tricky, but that course,
a few birdies, but nothing really to write home about, because the holes are really short, meaning the opposition have been a bit weak.
Yeah, we haven't seen any sort of 450-yard dog leg par fours, have we yet?
No, maybe that's what Hull will be.
Good question.
Even if they have got Emmanuel, that isn't actually how he wanted us to answer it, though.
I would say overall, probably par. At the moment, probably par, I'd say at the moment. Par. Yeah. We're still 2 points a game, aren't we? So if you look at that, that's par, isn't it?
Was it stable for points?
Yeah, that'd be dreadful, wouldn't it? Well, after 11 holes, though, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Sorry, come on.
I was going to say, what would constitute a par position in the league up to now? It probably would be about third, wouldn't it? Third or fourth, which is pretty much where we are. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Good question. Yeah.
Luckily, there's no Dustin Johnson running away with it at this stage.
Hang on, what's that? He just made quadruple bogey. Oh. Tantamount of Peterborough losing at Crewe, that is.
Lovely stuff. So, yeah, thanks to everyone who got involved there with the mailbag. All the questions and comments. And, yeah, as I mentioned, we did a poll on Twitter about what this podcast should be. And, yeah, quite a few people wanted a squad review. So Rich kindly set up a Google Sheet, and every single contributor on the podcast from this season has put in their ratings onto the Google Sheet. And I'll quickly read through these, starting with the goalkeepers, of course. So Thomas Holy came. So these were ratings out of 10. Thomas Holy is 6.33. Nobody rated him higher than a 7, but nobody rated him lower than a 6. And Cornell, obviously, we haven't seen as much of. He's 5.83. Do you think that's about fair, Craig, if 6 is about average?
Yeah, I think so. Neither, Holy, as we've spoken about before, he's been better in the more recent games, to be fair to him. I think I gave him a 6, just middling, average enough performance so far, isn't it? I think, albeit he played well in the last league game and helped us win it, but yeah, I think that's pretty fair reflection on where both of them are, aren't they? In that Cornell's probably just a little bit below him.
I'll just encourage our listeners and viewers to comment on Twitter or YouTube your ratings for the players so far this season. You can even use decimal points if you want. So we'll move into the defenders. We haven't seen much of Mark McGuinness, but yeah, so it's probably no surprise that he's rated as 6.17. Again, nobody rated him lower than a 6. Stephen Ward, he's had a promising start. He's obviously missed a couple of games, but he's rated 7.17, which is decent. And the second best of the defenders, because Luke Chambers, Dave, got a rating of 7.67. You got a few 8s. I'm just having a look. Did you rate him as an 8?
I think he was a solid 7 for me. Yeah, okay. He's done, and you can't say he's done really well right back. He has done well. You know, he hasn't, I can't remember him really being taken to the proverbial cleaners by anyone in particular. And he's got up the pitch well as well. So, he surprised me. I think I said on the pod where, obviously Joe's a big fan. I know. I had to say he's really surprised me. And I think he just looks comfortable there, more comfortable there than at centre half. What happens when the lesser spotted Kane Vincent Young appears, I don't know, but we'll see. It doesn't seem to be any time yet, but who knows?
Maybe it would be a nice
Lazarus like reappearance at some point. I think Chambers has been solid, really good.
I think Ward's rating just shows how what we think his importance is towards the team as well, isn't he? Just a level above, isn't he?
Yeah. Good player. Yeah, everyone gave him a 7 apart from Ben, who went for 8. So he's obviously a big favourite of Mr. Bloom. James Wilson, interestingly, his performances are quite highly regarded by the team. He's 6.67. It's mostly, exclusively 6s and 7s across the board for him. Is it a bit of a strange one, Craig, that he seems to be out in the cold now?
Yeah, and completely out in the cold, isn't he? He's not appearing on the bench, and Toto's being given the captain's armband in comparison. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. So it seems very harsh on the guy because, he hadn't really put a foot wrong. You know what you're going to get with him. He's a solid League One defender, pretty much central defender. That's what he is. Mm. And that's what he was doing for the first half a dozen, 8-10 games of the season, whatever it was that he played along with Nsiala. But,
yeah,
he, I think I think he's been treated harshly. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, whether he's been ill, whether he's been injured.
Yeah, I looked at that and thought, mate, he must have been ill or something like that, because he disappeared from the squad when they first went with, was it the Crew game, league game, when they went with McGuinness and Wolfenden? And
yeah, he didn't, it was the game after the Doncaster game.
And he was completely out of the squad completely, wasn't he? It must be illness, mustn't it? But nothing was said. But I think, I'm sure he was back on the bench. He's been back on the bench subsequent to that, though, hasn't he? I'm sure he was. Like last week, Sunderland, I think he was.
Yeah, he didn't play against Portsmouth, though, which was a bit strange. He was on the bench, I think. Yeah. Luke Wolfenden has obviously had a very disappointing season. You gave him a 7, Craig, because you liked what, I guess you liked what you saw of him against, was it the Crew game when he came in?
Yeah.
His rating is quite low, maybe partly because of me giving him a 4. Yeah, 5.83. But then
brutal, Mikey.
Yeah, that isn't based on the fact that he's playing. It's the fact that he's not managed to get himself into the team despite all of that quality. So that's why I've given him a 4, because I said 5 is average, 4 is below average. He's had a below average season. That's the way I perceive it.
Yeah, but then he wasn't going to be coming into the team ahead of two guys who were keeping clean sheets, was he?
Conceded a goal, you're right.
Reasoning behind it, wasn't it? So I just think he's played well since he's been in the team. I think him and McGuinness have both played well, to be fair to him, considering age and taking those sort of factors into consideration. I think they've sort of dovetailed quite well as a partnership.
Hmm. Danasien is rated just under 6. He's been fine. I think we're all fairly happy with Danasien being a backup option at right back.
I thought he had a good game against
Portsmouth. Yeah,
yeah, he was a bit naive. Is that the right word? When he gave away he got turned by Harrison for the free kick for the winner, didn't he? But other than that, I thought we had a really good game.
Looking a bit further down, Ndaba, I think he's having a pretty good season when he has played. But yeah, he's rated just below 5, which is probably about right, if you consider that he's probably our fourth, fifth choice centre back. Nsiala got 6s across the board. We all in total agreement on the performances of Nsiala. It's probably a 6 because it averages out, because sometimes he's an 8 or a 9, and then other times he's a 3 or a 4, isn't it?
He's a 2. Yeah, I think it's 6 is the mean, isn't it? It's the mean for him. Yeah.
Kane Vincent Young doesn't get a rating. Unfortunately, because we haven't seen him. Yeah. Miles Kenlock averaged out as 5. Again, a steady-ish backup at left back, but one
it's
that we'd
I think it's difficult
see
when
less of.
Comparing him to Wargs. I think Ward has had such an impact, hasn't he? You can see the impact that he's had on that he's pretty much had on the team. You know, so I think Kenlock perhaps struggles, to replace that.
Yeah. I think to be fair to Kenlock, though, he hasn't really had a stinker of a performance when he has had to replace Ward, has he yet? He's been all right. He hasn't stood out going forward or at the back, but he hasn't really stood out as being poor. But as Dave said, you're just comparing him to Ward, aren't you? That's his issue.
Yeah. I just think he just gets docked the point for that ungainly running style.
It's not great to watch, even on iFollow, is it? Moving into the midfielders, and John Nolan, I think, maybe it's a little harsh, 5.5, because he's had a couple of decent games. He's scored a couple of goals as well, but I think he's maybe just a player that we're a bit fed up of. We don't really enjoy watching.
Just frustrating, isn't it? Frustrating.
I think between 5 and 6 is fair, isn't it? He might have an occasional 7.5-8 match, but he has far more 4.5-5 matches, I think.
Scored 2 or 3 goals, is he? 2 or 3 goals he scored. That's a few. So I remember him scoring at Bristol Rovers. Yeah. He scored 1 or 2.
Yeah, he scored against Portsmouth in the cup as well.
Oh, yeah, because he
think he scored.
Week. Yeah, because he did.
That was his only forward pass last week, wasn't he? Passed it into the net.
But that's what he can do. This is a frustrating thing. That's exactly what he can do. You know, he finds himself in that position. Great finish. I remember, did he not score again in our relegation schemes? Or a really good goal?
Yeah, West Brom. And at home to Derby,
Derby. And you know he's got it. And that's the frustrating thing. When he gets himself, when he kicks on and gets himself in those positions, I mean, you'd say, okay, he wasn't that far out last week, but it was a great, really good finish. You know, control, spin, no chance for the keeper. So he's got that in his locker, as they say, but it's he does but frustrate.
The thing is, when he plays well, we big him up on here, saying he's got love, fantastic feet,
but he
touches
has.
Great.
Yeah,
you know, I couldn't tell you which foot is his predominant foot either. Mm. But he just doesn't
footballer.
Do it.
Elegant footballer.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Staying with the ginger centre midfielders, and one man that he's had an excellent season so far, we've all rated him really highly, as Teddy Bishop. Yes. His score averaged out as 8.17.
Outstanding.
Ben gave him a 9. Everyone else gave him an 8. He has been
outstanding.
He's been
excellent, hasn't he? He's just got it, hasn't he? He's the one player that's... Okay, Edwards has done really well, but he's the one player that just gives you something different. You know, he can sort of push off on either foot. He just drops his shoulder a little bit. Not the quickest. He doesn't look the quickest player, but he's clever, isn't he? You know, he'll break the lines and he'll get in those little pockets. And, well, look at his goal output this season. Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, if he stays fit, I mean, I don't think there's many better midfield players in the division than him. To do what he does, he's... Yeah.
Especially
if he stays fit and has a really good season. Who knows? You know, he's that good. I think he is. But you're right. Well, good point you make, Mikey, that he needs, I think, as these games, what we've got, 10 games in the next 6 weeks. Yeah, we'll need handling, won't we?
Yeah, but he's had this. It's going to be a 2-week break by the time we play Shrewsbury. This could be quite handy for a couple of our players, this little break.
Yeah.
We're obviously playing Charlton on the Saturday in a couple of weeks now as well, which is handy. I'll move on to the next midfielder. I think your fellow Essex boy, Flynn Downes. Craig is just under 5. He's 4.5 because we haven't really seen much of him. And when he has come on, to me, he's looked like he's going to get himself sent off.
Yeah, he looks a frustrated figure when he comes on, doesn't he? He's with a point to prove. He was, I can't remember which game it was that he came on Within 30 seconds, he was,
We were 3-1 up as well, weren't we?
Jumping into someone, wasn't he? Yeah, there's a lot of pent-up frustration that he's looking to get out. But, yeah, we're missing him, put it that way.
Yeah.
But I could just go back to Teddy Bishop. Is he ginger? He's strawberry blonde.
He's strawberry blonde, yeah.
Yeah. Ginger beard.
A bit harsh, Mikey. Yeah.
Not that we're calling ginger. Why is it harsh to be ginger?
No, exactly. No, quite right. Sorry, I should say that. Absolutely quite right. Yeah. Harsh to get his hair colour wrong, I meant.
Okay, yeah. Brilliant, yeah. And a shout out to all the snowflakes listening. Andre Dizel, his rating just under 8, 7.67. I think we're all really pleased with what we've seen from Andre Dizel, but maybe feel that there's even slightly more to come, Dave.
Definitely, I think so. I think sometimes... Perhaps it looks just his style of play. Sometimes I think he perhaps takes the easy option, but maybe if the pass we don't see that, you know, I follow, we just don't see it, do we? You know, maybe the pass isn't on, but you know, when he is on song and he's picking those passes, he's crucial to us, I think, at the moment. And really great that he's had this run of games, which, as Craig said, with his, you know, interviewing his dad, he needed, and now I think he's proved himself. Yeah, it looks like he's getting stronger upper body, you know, starting to withhold challenges that I think was always a bit of a criticism of him before. He's had a good season.
Yeah. You rated him an eight, didn't you, Craig?
Yeah. I just think he's integral to the way that we play. You know, it's all pretty much the team set up around him as being the focal point of the team. And as Dave said, and I said to his old man, we see is that one camera angle, you know, and we have to just go by that. So we can't see what else is potentially on or not. I just think that, you know, as I said in the interview, I just trust him to be playing the right ball 9 times out of 10, whether it be forward, whether it be sideways, backwards. It's the one that should be being played. And he's just adding the defensive qualities, I think, to his game a bit more purely by the fact that he's playing more often now. He is tracking people back. He's getting sent off for knee-high challenges and stuff like that. So, you know, he's adding a bit of steel to his game as well, which can only make him a more rounded midfielder, can't it?
Mm. And just completing the midfielders is Emir Hughes, and we've all spoken about how disappointed we've been by his struggle to get back to his old self.
Yeah,
and Seb Brown, we've not marked the players that we haven't seen this season for example, Kane Vincent Young, Cole Skews. Said Brown didn't put a rating for Emir Hughes. I don't know whether that was an accident or whether he feels like he's gone missing in games this season.
It must be frustrating for him as well, though, mustn't it, to know what he is capable of and was capable of, and the fact that his games are just passing him by now, aren't they?
Mm.
You know, physically and metaphorically, he's chasing shadows a lot of the times in the central midfield, and just you'd not notice he's on the pitch, which is a bloody devastating shame.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there, where you said not is what the player he was. You know, I think he's just not reach that. Is he likely to? I mean, he was out a long, long time, wasn't he? You know, with setbacks and everything else arising out of that. So, yeah, shame. But who knows? You know, he may well come, but yeah, he hasn't shown it yet, has he?
One Welshman that is having a very good season, though, is Gwion Edwards-Craig. His rating came out at 8.17. I think we're all in complete agreement that he's been a bit of a revelation for us this season. Always looks best when he's out on the left, doesn't he?
Yeah, on the very rare occasions he's played there, he looks good. And even when he's played on the right, he's actually getting forward and taking his men on. He's showing a good change of pace as well. He's looking very, very quick, both with and without the ball as well. Mm. He's played really well this season. Obviously, he's added goals. And what he does as well, as we know, he helps out his fullback. You know, he does the defensive piece as well. So, yeah, I think he's had a really, really good start to the season. And as we all know, he's out of contract in the summer.
As is
everybody else.
Everybody else.
Jack Lancaster, we haven't seen loads of him yet, but he obviously scored that goal against Sunderland. And I think he's generally impressed us when he has played. He's got 7 across the board. He's another one that we were unanimous in our rating for him.
He makes things happen, doesn't he?
He does,
Jack Lancaster. You know, scored a goal, arguably probably should have scored that. Well, I'm sure would have turned out to have been a winner at Sunderland. A bit unfortunate there. A couple of good assists. Was it free kick, Bristol Rovers, and another one or two assists I can remember him having. He's just, good technical footballer. I like Lancaster. I like him a lot. As I said, he seems to make things, make things happen in there. And good that he's come back.
And he's being trusted to play, isn't he? You know, he's being played when he's fit. He's pretty
playing,
much starting
playing
matches,
quite a
isn't
central
he?
Position, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether that's quite his role, though, was it?
But, no.
But I think he deserves that. I think it was 7s across the board, wasn't it, for him?
Yeah.
From us. Yeah.
About
right.
Keenan Bennett came out at 4.83. We haven't seen loads of him yet. I think maybe we're a little bit concerned that he didn't rip it up against Crawley on Tuesday night.
Of the lad we had from Spurs last
year. Anthony Giorgio, Mark
II. Exactly the same type player. Just looks a player and looks, well, here we go, but not quite delivering yet. Again, might well come, but yeah. I think you're right what you said earlier on about the game at Crawley, perhaps, and one or two other games I've seen him come on. Maybe he's just trying slightly too hard.
Mm. Yeah. Quite possibly. Another man that does try maybe a little bit too hard is Alan Judge, Craig. We're all desperate to hear your opinion on Alan Judge.
For people listening, that was Dave Scoff there, as you mentioned his name, not mine. Again, we're disappointed with Emir Hughes, but bloody hell's bells. I don't know. I've said enough, I think, about Alan Judge. And again, you can tell he's got it all. You know, he's technically, arguably, I suppose, the one of the top two or three technically gifted footballers in the team. Takes every bloody free kick when he's on the pitch, most of the corners when he's on the pitch.
Can I just quickly ask you, completing the midfielders is Armando Dobra. He's got the exact same rating as 5.5, but we've obviously barely seen him this season. Would you like to see a lot more of Dobra and a lot less of Judge?
Yes. Yeah. Craig's exactly right. Judge, I think I gave him 4 because he just frustrates me. Nolan frustrates me, but Judge is just beyond, because technically he's quite right, but he appears to be disciplined on the pitch. His set plays are by and large terrible. Just incredibly, incredibly frustrating, because you know the player that he is and just could be, especially at that level, for goodness sake. You know,
he can't argue he hasn't been given the chances. He's playing in every position on the pitch. We're trying him out in every position on the pitch. He still hasn't come good in any of them so far.
No.
Okay, so that moves us into the forwards. Rich has put Freddie Sears amongst the forwards. I'll pick him up first because he's mostly played as a wide midfielder. His rating is 5.83. He's certainly looking more promising than last season, but hasn't maybe reached the heights that people expected him to in League One. The only two forwards that, Norwood's rated 5.33. It's obviously been a bit disappointing from him as well. Caden Jackson, 4.5, but hopefully that will rise when we start to see a little bit more of him. Aaron Drynan, 6.33, really unfortunate with that injury at the start of the season. And ironically, he's got the exact same rating as the man that came in to replace him, Ollie Hawkins, at 6.33. We'd take 6.33 out of Ollie Hawkins, wouldn't we? Because he's just a solid striker that you can hang your hat on to hold the ball up. He's not the answer.
I was just thinking about Sears. You know, all these players, you think about these players. Sears, obviously, Alan Judge, we know his injury. Alan Judge, Sears, big. Sears, Judge, Hughes as well. Maybe Hughes a tiny bit younger, perhaps. But, you know, Sears and Judge, not massive difference in ages. Big injuries to have at their stage of the career when they had those injuries. Really, really big. I mean, Judge was out, let's face it, thick end of two seasons, I think. Sears is out pretty much a whole season, which overlapped. Big, big injuries to get over at that age. You know, they're not Flynn Downs, for instance, getting over I don't think he had an ACL, did he? But a three-month sort of tear or something like that. And I think they at that age, they just struggled to get back to what they were.
Again, as we were talking about Kenlock being compared to Ward, maybe Sears, you're sort of comparing him to the other wing where Edwards is tearing it up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and
good point.
You know, you're just seeing Sears does it and Nolan does it. They'll run forward 10 yards with the ball, stop, turn, pass it back 20 yards. It just frustrates the hell out of me.
Safe, yeah.
Okay, let's. I think that's the whole squad reviewed. quick question to both of you: whose mark are you most hopeful about it being different at the end of the season? Does that make sense? Whose score do you want to see much higher? Flynn Downs, surely.
Oh, well, obviously, yeah, when he comes in and plays. Yeah, Flynn Downs.
And Luke Wolfenden as well, maybe?
I hope Kane Vincent Young finishes with a 9.
Personally. Yeah. James Norwood.
Norwood, yeah.
Yeah, definitely Norwood.
The thing is, you're going to need Norwood's to be higher, Downs's to be higher, aren't you? You're going to need theirs to be higher for us to have made the impact that we want to.
Essentially, even the goalkeeper as well.
Yeah.
And, speaking of goalkeepers... our long-term listener, Mullet, had some exciting news this week. He has a new arrival. Not sure.
Yeah, I saw that. Congratulations.
Congratulations from everyone at Blue Monday.
Brilliant.
On Wednesday night, Blue Monday will be back with a live stream on our YouTube channel. Rich Woodward is going to be joined by two special guests. So that's one to look out for. Yeah, 9 p.m. that starts on Wednesday. And the flagship show will return next Monday as we look back on our return to league action against Shrewsbury. Any last words from you both before we go and watch the golf?
No, really. I know that potentially Rich and myself are working on a couple of interviews, potentially in the early stages going forward. So I think watch this space for those.
Yeah, a few goals. These two prospective interviewees. Greg, any last words from you? One last plug for your Jason Dizell podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you want to reminisce about Christ nearly 30 years ago now, then by all means. And if everyone wants a copy of the scrapbook that I've got here, let me know and I'll PDF it and send it over.
Jason was very taken with that scrapbook. I could tell he really wanted to see it. That was great. That show was good.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, it was great to hear him waxing lyrical about Steve Whitten as well, Craig.
Obviously
prime.
The only reason I've been prodding every member of that squad is literally to get him to talk about Steve Whitten for a couple of minutes. So it's come to fruition.
Lovely stuff. Okay, thanks everyone for listening. And wish for whatever you want.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.